Everyone knows Brother Don went home to be with the Lord on Saturday morning. Need to be in much prayer for Sister Mary and Mike and Pam and Debbie and all the family. Remember them in prayer. In light of that, I'd like to just, for this week, get away from our series on Bible study, and I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40. I believe this is a subject that we probably all need right now, and if you don't, sometime in your life you will. But Isaiah has, if you were to outline the book of Isaiah, there's three main sections. Chapters 1 through 35 is basically, Isaiah is a series of messages. The first 35 chapters is our messages of condemnation because of sin. 1 through 35, it's the nation being condemned by the preaching of Isaiah because of their sin. In chapters 36 through 39, there's like a historical interlude in those chapters. And then beginning with chapter 40, going through the end of the book, chapter 66, there are messages of comfort. The second section of the book, which is the historical interlude, ends with the foretelling of God's people going into Babylonian captivity. In chapter 39, verses 5 through 7, then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in a place of Babylon." That's terrible news. So chapter 39 ends with this declaration that the nation would go into captivity. Their children not even, and young children would be taken away from them. And then we begin the third section, which is messages of comfort that Isaiah brings. Notice verse 1, verse 2. "Comfort ye," this is God speaking to Isaiah, "comfort ye my people, saith your God." Up to this point, he has preached one message after another on condemnation concerning sin. "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, and her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Verses 3 through 5 talk about John the Baptist. And then verse 6 says, the voice, that same voice of verse 1, said, "Cry," that is, speak aloud this message of comfort. And he said, "What shall I cry? What shall I preach?" He knows he's to comfort the people. What am I to preach? What am I to say to console these people who are going to go into captivity, whose children are going to be taken away? We see comfort, of course, means help, support, It's encouragement. It's that which soothes. It's reassurance. Brings about some degree of tranquility, some degree of contentment. It says, cry. The voice said, cry. That is, shout this message, exclaim this message. It also speaks of a sense of urgency and importance, the message. Again, they're about to go into captivity. Their children are going to be carried away. And Isaiah responded by saying, what shall I cry? What shall I say? And as you read through Isaiah chapter 40, God basically gives Isaiah a threefold message. Again, the purpose of this message was to bring comfort. And I believe as we read the threefold message that God gave to Isaiah, we begin to understand the basis. We begin to understand the foundation of God's comfort. Most people have a completely wrong idea concerning the basis and foundation of God's comfort. But it's in God's comfort where we can truly find help. That's where we truly find support and encouragement. And it is in God's comfort that we get that reassurance and that tranquility and that contentment. But notice, we want to notice three things concerning this comfort. The first thing is something that most probably would never think of, but if you really think about the Lord's comfort, this is where it almost always begins. God begins this message of comfort with a reminder of the frailty and vanity of the flesh. Notice verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Again, this is a message. He's to deliver a message of comfort. Here comes the answer. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Here's where God begins to comfort. He begins by telling them of their utter weakness and their inadequacy. So, where is the comfort of being told that we are fallible? Where is the comfort in being told that we have a major deficiency? It is the nature of man to seek comfort in the flesh. That's the nature of man. That's the nature of all of us, to seek comfort in the flesh. God begins this message of comfort by saying, flesh is frail, it is inadequate, it is deficient, it is unreliable. It's like grass. It's there one morning, gone the next. This serves as a reminder, and again, this is where we must begin if we're going to have comfort. It serves as a reminder that we are not to trust in the flesh. The reason a lot of people never receive the comfort that they stand in need of is because they rely upon the wrong things for their comfort. So God begins this message of comfort by saying, basically, your nature is to depend upon flesh. I am here to remind you, says God, that flesh is as grass. Don't lean upon it. Don't depend upon it. This is not where you will find comfort. And that is true for all of us today. Man tries to comfort other people, but the reality is this: real comfort. I mean, real comfort comes from God. It comes from God. So we are reminded this is God's way of comforting us. The first, he begins by telling us, don't trust in the wrong things. You're weak, you're unable, you're frail. Don't trust in that which is like you. And that's what people do. They trust in those things that are no stronger than they. The second thing we find in verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, speaking of flesh. And then we have that word but. There's a contrast. But the word of our God shall stand forever. So the message of comfort begins by telling us how frail we are. Begins by telling us not to depend upon flesh. And then he calls our attention to the Word of God. There is comfort in the Word of God. There is comfort in the Word of God. I had an individual years ago that accused me of not being comforting. He said, what he told me was to read such and such a scripture. That's not what I needed. Oh, my friend, that's exactly what he needed. It's exactly what he needed. This is where we find comfort. We don't find comfort in the flesh. We find comfort in the Word of God. If you want to, go ahead and lean upon flesh. But in the end, somewhere along the line, you need to open the Word of God and you need to read. Because there's comfort there. There's comfort in God's Word. He said, the Word of our God shall stand forever. In other words, the flesh changes, the flesh withers, it's unreliable. But in the midst of all the flux, in the midst of all the change, the Word of God is a solid rock. The Word of God is a solid rock in the midst of a desert of shifting sand. And we can find comfort. We can find comfort in the Word of God. It is dependable. You cannot depend upon flesh. You can depend upon the Word of God. What do you do? Say there is an individual that you depend upon for comfort. A tragedy occurs in your life. You immediately call that individual and they don't answer their phone. For whatever reason. Most people get angry. But they don't answer their phone. That's a reminder. Flesh is not dependable. Here's what you ought to do in those circumstances. Open the Word. Get in the Word of God. There's comfort there. It is reliable. I may call a friend and he or she may not be able to answer the phone. They may not feel like talking at that time. They say, Brother Dan, I'll talk to him later. Whatever. But the point is, flesh eventually in all of our lives will prove to be unreliable. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That serves as a reminder where our help comes from. But the Word of God shall endure forever. In a world filled with cares and concerns and burdens and sorrows and heartaches, We can find help. We can find support. We can find encouragement. We can find assurance. We can find that which soothes us. We can find that which gives us tranquility and contentment and joy in the Word of God. So here's how God comforts. He begins by telling us of the frailty of flesh. He begins by telling us the frailty of flesh. And that's a good place to begin many times. People say, I'm trying so hard. Well, they need to get the message. That's not going to do it. You can try all you want to. And I'm not saying you shouldn't try. But that's not going to do everything you need. So he brings us our attention to the Word of God. Then in verse 9, he says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, these are the ones getting ready to go into captivity, behold your God. Here's our comfort. The Word of God endureth forever. That's a source of comfort. Another source of comfort, and the two go hand in hand. Behold your God. What that is saying is, fix your attention upon God. Now think about this. The end of chapter 39, they have been told, you're going to go into captivity. And he tells them something about their captivity. He says, the things you've laid up in store, those things that you depended upon, not going to do you any good. It's not going to be of any benefit to you. And they're going to take your children, those things that, those little ones that you so much rejoice in, they're going to be taken. Now, would we find comfort in dwelling upon that? No, the only thing you'll find dwelling upon that is discouragement. So he says, behold your God. In the light of this news, behold your God. That is, fix your attention upon God. This is where we find comfort. And I know it's not always easy to fix our attention upon God, because our minds do wander back to whatever it is that is bothering us. But we need to continually fix our attention upon God, because there is great comfort. There's comfort in looking away from that which is earthly and behold your God. Many times we have to just look away from that which is earthly and behold God. There is comfort in looking away from man. Man's going to disappoint us. There's comfort in looking away from man and behold your Lord God. There is comfort in looking away from circumstances, situations, and opposition, and difficulties, and behold your God. The call to behold your God is a call to make God your focal point. And he continues on after he says in verse 9, behold your God. He then, through the rest of the chapter, draws their attention to the character of God. Behold your God. There's comfort there. In verse 11, we're not going to read all of these verses. We're not going to read any of them. We're just going to mention the things that are drawn out. In verse 11, we see the goodness or the gentleness of God. Verse 12, we read of the omnipotence of God. Same thing in verse 26. Verses 13 and 14, we read of the omniscience, or the all-knowing God. We see in verses 15 through 17, and also in verses 20 through 24, we see the sovereignty of God. And it just goes on and on. And in verse 26, he says, "Lift up your eyes on high." Why? That's where there's comfort. Lift up your eyes on high. "Behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one," that is, of all the host of heaven, "faileth." What he's talking about in verses 11 through the end of the chapter is God is real. God is relevant to whatever you and I experience in life, or whatever we have to experience in life down the road. God is real. And God is relevant. And there's comfort in the reality of God. There's comfort in the relevancy of God. And then after drawing their attention to God, Isaiah again reminds them of the frailty of man. Verse 30, he says, "Even the youths shall faint." The youths are the ones that you think to be the strongest. What he's saying is, even the strongest of man is going to faint. Is going to faint and be weary. And the young man and the young men shall utterly fall. And then notice what he does. He calls their attention. He calls upon them to do something. "But they that wait upon the Lord." There's where that comfort is. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Not for all the days of their life. You renew your strength, and maybe 20 minutes later, you begin to fall. So what do you need to do? Wait on the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Lean upon Him. Renew your strength again. This is where we find comfort. We as God's people need to know where it is that we don't find comfort. We need to know our own frailty. We need to know our own weakness. We need to know our own insufficiency. And we need to know where we can find comfort. And where we can find comfort is in the Word of God and in the person of God. And as we read the Word of God, that ought to cause us to behold your God. Behold your God. Don't just pick up the Bible and look for a verse that applies to your situation. Just read it and behold God. And there's comfort there. There's strength there. There's peace there. Guaranteed. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of comfort, a God that gives peace that passes understanding. And Lord, we do pray that you would comfort hearts. And Lord, that you would just give us the peace that passeth understanding. We pray today, Lord, if there be anyone in our midst that doesn't know thee as Savior, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would open their hearts to salvation. Lord, that you'd save their soul this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.